Well, I ask your prayers. We look into scriptures for a few minutes this evening. I am an optimist, and I don't like to dwell in the world of looking down at the tops of my shoes all the time. That doesn't mean that we don't have some difficult things to deal with from time to time, but I like to try to rise above those kinds of things, if at all possible, and put on my best face and put a foot forward and try to continue making headway and making progress. I find that there are things, I'm a realist. I like to try to deal as much as I know how to do is deal in reality of things and realizing that there are difficult places, there are hard things to deal with in life. But I don't want to allow those things to control me, bring me down, cause me to have my shoulders slumped. But I do know this, that there are things that happen, that can happen, to cause us to really, sometimes it can almost derail us. Certain things, the way things play out before our eyes. And this evening, I'd like for us to just consider for a few minutes that we have no way to control the things that happen to us in life. Now, we have some level of control over health as far as the way we conduct ourselves. If we there are certain habits that you can partake of that will absolutely bring a downfall to your health. But if we make a reasonable effort to do things right and try to live healthy as much as we know and understand, generally speaking, we will do all right. However, there are things that come. Sometimes people get a dreadful disease, cancer. This past winter, we remember how bad the flu virus was in the area, and there were several people that died from flu. And that's something that generally you think, well, you'll be down for a week or 10 days, and you'll eventually get all your strength back and get back to a normal routine and lifestyle, but it doesn't always happen like that. Some people get very, very sick. Some people get septic infection throughout their bodies and paralysis and never return to normal after that. So there are those kinds of things that happen. And if we're not careful, those kinds of things can really shake us. They can really rattle us and cause us to sometimes feel forsaken of the Lord. It's common in the world to hear, if you listen a little bit, to hear a prosperity gospel. Or if you serve the Lord and you pray and you do things right, the Lord's going to bless you and everything's going to be rainbows and sunshine and peaches and cream and flowers and plenty and nothing's going to go wrong. Just serve the Lord. Everything will be just wonderful. The truth of the matter is, if you serve the Lord, everything will be wonderful at the end of the life. When we step off of the stage of action into the other realm, the eternal realm, everything will be wonderful there. But I'd like for us to consider a couple of passages in the Scripture this evening and deal with reality. One that comes to mind that's very familiar to us all is Job. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job in this first chapter. And we'll read a little bit about this man. Should be so familiar to us all. But I'd like for us to think about this man, Job, as we consider the things we just made comment about. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Looked up that word eschewed in the Hebrew. That means he turned it off. He turned off evil. Any time that there was something that came to him that had an evil element to it, it's like he, if you would, took the switch and click, turned that off. He would have no part of it. He didn't want to be involved with it. Didn't want that to be a part of his life. He pushed away from it. He turned it off. There were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. Well, let's back up a little bit here first. This man was perfect and upright. Now, I don't believe that means that he never made blunder. I believe what that means is he was whole. He was mature. He was complete. He was sound. There's nothing more inviting to me or encouraging to me or uplifting to me than to have a visit with someone who is sound. When you visit with them, talk to them, if you ask them questions and or ask them for some direction or understanding, that the counsel that they give is sound. It's solid. It's steadfast. This man, Job, was perfect. He was mature. He was sound. He was complete. A man that is going to turn off evil and try to live right, do things right, we would expect it to be that way. He was sound. He was upright. He feared God, had respect to God, and turned off evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. Looks like 1,000 for each son. 3,000 camels. Looks like 1,000 for each daughter. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she-asses. And a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of all the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, which sounds to me like maybe for their birthday. Assumption there, but it sounds like maybe for their birthday they had celebrations for their in their houses, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now this sounds like a sound man. Sounds like a man that, as I understand, was lived about the time of Moses, probably before the law was given, but lived in that same time frame. And it sounds as though this man had respect to God and knew that there was a penalty for doing wrong. And for his own children, he thought, well, I'm going to have respect to God. And I know that it could be that my sons and my daughters have made some bad decisions. It could be that in their partying, it could be that in their celebrations that they got a little careless. It could be that they allowed themselves to get carried away with their festivities. So I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to go to God for them, and I'm going to say, "Lord, will you please have mercy on them? Here's some sacrifices for my children." Thus did Job continually. This is a man that had respect to God, reverence to God, concern for his children, concern for his family, did what he could to try to make things right and appease God for them. And I say to myself, hats off to this man. Maybe he didn't fully understand. Maybe he didn't know the things that he needed to do, but it sounds as though he made every effort to do right as much as he could, as much as he understood. He did it continually. Sounds like a good man. Sounds like a man that anyone would want to have in their congregation. Sounds like a man that you would want to have as a father and a grandfather. Sounds like a man that you would want to have a part of the fabric of your community, to where you could say that this man was prosperous, and not just because he served the Lord, but he was prosperous because it just looks like he tried to do things right. He tried to be courteous and respectful. He tried to fear God and respect God. And he tried to do that with his fellow man. And he loved his family, loved his children. Now there was a day When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? What a curious comment for God to make about a man. To Satan. Now, I'll just tell you, folks, this is a realm that I can't fully explain, express to you, that I understand everything that took place here. But I know this. We have recorded in the Scripture that God looked upon this man, Job, as one that feared Him, and He respected him. Job respected God, and God respected Job. And the Lord God said to the opposer, to the adversary, Have you considered Job? There's not another man like him in the earth. Poor Job. God did this because He knew Job. God looked at this situation because He knew the heart of Job. He knew the mind of Job. He knew the principles that Job had instilled in his own being. He knew those things. So Satan says, Well, does he fear you for no reason? You made a hedge about him and about all his house and all that he has on every side. You've blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, All he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we know what happened. Everything he had came crashing down. His possessions, the camels, the sheep, the oxen, the she-asses, and his children. All of that came crashing down. All because God said, Have you considered my servant Job? It would be easy for us to look at this transaction and say, That's not right. It's just not right. Why? Why would God allow this kind of thing to happen to this man Job? He knew him. I want us to realize this evening, folks, just because we serve the Lord God of heaven and Jesus Christ, His Son, a risen Savior, does not exempt us from trouble. We need not think that we're going to get out of this world without some trouble. We need not think that we're going to skate out of here without having some difficulty somewhere along the way. And we need not think that just because we have served God faithfully throughout our lives, that we may not come to some point in life where we have some hard places to go through, sometimes even at the very end. And it's questions that arise at that time that we don't know how to answer. We can't figure all those things out. The truth of the matter is, folks, it's not for us to figure out. There are things that are transacted between God and man and God and the opposer in this world, as evidenced by this passage here, that you and I have no understanding. We're not party to. These things belong to God. And what He chooses to do, what He allows to come, is His business. What He allows to happen with you and me in life, that's the Lord's business. Now, Job was challenged again by his wife here. You've lost all of these things. What are you going to do about it? She wanted him to curse God and die. It was either here or just when he lost his, when his health got so bad. But he said, You talk as a foolish woman. Shall a man receive good at the hands of God and also not receive some evil or some reverses? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say, may God help us to maintain that attitude as we live life. When we have plenty, when we have enough, when we have more than enough, when we have physical blessings, when we have health and strength, and suddenly that comes crashing down around us. May we have the integrity of heart and mind to say, I know this much. God gave me good years. God is the one that controls all of these things. He is above me in power and might and authority. His counsels are wise. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just a little while after this, we know that there was another meeting with the Lord and Satan. In the same basic conversation, Satan said, you take away all he has and he'll curse you to your face. He was proved wrong there. And he said, well, if you let me touch his body, he'll do it. And God said, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. Boils rose up all over that man's body, folks. Have you ever had a boil? I have. That's uncomfortable to have one. He had them all over his body. Misery. Sat with a gourd, with a pottery, and scraped his flesh. And his wife looked at him and said, you wretched, wretched being. Why don't you just curse God and die and be done with this? And again, your talk is a foolish. I came into this world naked, and I'll go back to my father naked. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With that understanding and that backdrop, knowing that God talked highly of this man Job and allowed these calamities to befall him, let's remember that we're not serving God just for prosperity. We're not serving God for loaves and fishes. We're not serving God just for blessings that we can receive here. We're serving the Lord because, one, He loved us first and we love Him in return. And two, because He holds out to us the promise of eternal life where we escape all of the elements in this world. The adversary, the enemy of our souls who does everything he can to trip us up along the way, there comes a time that is in God's hands. He holds an eternity for us. It is life everlasting, life forevermore, where I escape all of the things. Folks, these physical bodies fail. These physical bodies begin to drop off in their abilities, their performances. We lose strength. We lose the ability to do the things that we once could do when we were young and strong and healthy and vibrant. Those things start to slip away. The eyesight starts to get a little dim. That's why we have to wear some of these things to be able to read. We have to do things slower. We have to think through things. We have to do things more methodically than we did before because these bodies begin the process of failing. To get down on the floor, realizing I'm going to be down on the floor for a while, I have to think about how I'm going to get there and then how I'm going to get back up. When I was young, just get down and get up. I watched my dad the other day working on his truck. He got down, he's 80 years old. He got down on the ground, laid on the creeper, rolled up under his truck. I said, Daddy, I'll do that if you want. No, son, I've got it. He rolled up underneath his truck. We were working on it together. And he rolled up underneath there. And in a little bit, we got done with what we were trying to do. And he rolled out of there. Now, it took a little bit for him to get up off that creeper and get up and going again. But he did it. But you know what I think, folks? I've been by the bedside of those who are sick, who have loved the Lord, who have done all that they know to do right things along the way. I've sat by their bedside and I've talked to them and I've listened to them and I've seen them do some things and heard them say some things that I just did not understand. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I've seen their responses and reactions, not sinful things, not things that are morally wrong, just things I didn't understand. And I go away from it there and I say, Lord, I have no idea what my end will be. I have not a clue how it will be when I come down to the end of my journey. If I'm allowed to live to 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, people do. I have no idea what kind of situation that's going to be for me. I don't know if I'll have my right mind. I don't know if I'll be able to have all my faculties and process things. I don't know. I say, Lord, please help me. Help my children. Help my family. If I get into that kind of a place, help them just to love me. Just love me. Even though Daddy doesn't make sense anymore. Even though Daddy can't even carry out a conversation with us anymore. Even though Daddy may not even know we're here. Help them to love me. Help them just to love me. Because we've come to these places, folks, we have to realize we can try to deny it and try to push it aside, but reality tells us that there are sometimes difficult things come to people, and it's not because they've done bad things, it's just because the way things unfold. This man Job was a good man. God even said to Satan, have you considered him? There's not a man like him, one that fears me, eschews evil. There's not another man on the earth like this man Job. And the Lord allowed some things to be turned loose. Now I'd like to go to the book of John. Read a verse here. And I want to share a couple of things with you. These are the words of Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. These are the words of the Master. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I want to give you a list of things. This is taken from Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm going to go down a list of people who died, who were followers of Christ, and how they died. Stephen, of course we know, we have biblical account of how he died. He was stoned. Did Stephen do anything wrong? Was Stephen a bad man? He was stoned. James the Great, son of Zebedee, the relative of the Lord Jesus, he was beheaded. Philip was crucified. One account outside of Fox's Book of Martyrs says that the way he was crucified was he was impaled by hooks in his ankles upside down and crucified. Impaled by ankles, by hooks in his ankles, upside down and crucified. James the Less, he was stoned and then had his brains dashed out with a club. Matthias, stoned, then beheaded. Andrew, crucified. Mark, dragged to pieces. Peter, crucified, head down. Paul, beheaded. Jude, crucified. Bartholomew, beaten and crucified. Luke, hanged on an olive tree. Thomas, thrust through with spears. Simon, crucified. Barnabas was uncertain. John died a natural death. John, of this list, followers of the Lord, first century, the apostles, one that we have account except for Barnabas, we were uncertain, but John died a natural death. But it wasn't because they didn't try. They tried to boil him. They tried to boil him, and the Lord spared his life. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. That's where he got the revelation from the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, would you say that these were bad men? But look at the end. There is no guarantee that just because you and I serve the Lord God, serve a risen Savior, and make every effort that we can in life to do right things, there is no guarantee that you and I are going to skate through this life and skate out of here without some difficulties. No guarantee whatsoever. So when we're dealing with things in life, when we're dealing with coming down to the end, when we're dealing with seeing things unfold before our eyes that we just don't understand, why is it this way? Let's realize, maybe we don't have the answers to all that. There are things like these men, crucified, hooks in your ankles, hanged upside down, crucified, beheaded, beaten with clubs, head cut off. All of these manners, dragged to death, Mark being dragged to pieces. These are things that you would say, well, you could anticipate this kind of thing happening to ungodly men. The lifestyle they live, it's no wonder the way that they conduct themselves and the people that they hang with, the people that they run with. You could expect there to be some tragic ends. And there are. But my experience has been, folks, that there's been some tragic ends to some people, good people in life. I'll state one example. A few years ago at Monarch Meeting, the Gracie family had left the grounds, were headed home. Got just a few miles away from the campground. Tragic accident, and a little boy was killed. Their little boy was killed. Now we can look at that and say, what went wrong? What happened? What did that little boy do? Those are things, folks, that you and I, we can't answer. And if we allow it, we can allow those kinds of things to cause questions and bitterness in our hearts and minds to where it causes us to question God and why do you do such things? Why did you allow such things? Remember, the Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't have answers for all these things, but this much I do know. There is one who inhabits a world that I cannot see. There is one that is in control of all of the forces around us that I want to yield my life to. And I know this much, whatever comes my way, I pray, Lord, help me be like Job. If I have mind enough to know when I come to the end of the journey, or at some point, if I'm coming to that place, everything that I think about is slipping away from me, help me to be able to come to that place where I say, Lord, You gave, and You've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. I want this to be encouragement to us. I want us to realize that we serve one. Scripture tells us that His ways aren't our ways. His ways are past finding out. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And it's things that there's no way for you and me to be able to explain. There's no way for us to be able to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and come up with sensible answers and solutions. Except, I know God does all things well. You pray for me. Amen.